you would remember this better as a player. So you tell us. We always think, oh, God, we have incredible first-round matchups and great teams are going to go out in the first round. But it's probably always been that way. You played in a Western Conference when Colorado, Dallas, you guys in Chicago, Detroit was coming on. So I don't know that we have anything unique this year, do we, with, say, L.A., San Jose, and St. Louis, Chicago? A couple good teams go out in the first round every year, don't they?
Yeah, without question, they do. And this year, I think it might be a little bit more extravagant this year because the parity is so good. I mean, there are literally, you know, probably 10 or 11 teams that you can sit here and say have a really good chance of winning a Stanley Cup. So, yes, there's going to be more than two quality teams going out in the first round, which it was, you know, I guess it's good and bad.
It's amazing to think that two of Chicago, St. Louis, San Jose, and L.A. are going to be sent packing after the first round. Which one of these organizations to you would you be the most disappointed if they bowed out in the first round?
Well, for me, it'll be Chicago because they are the defending Stanley Cup champions. You always like to see a team continue to display their dominance like Chicago has. So I'm going to go with the two teams that I played for. I mean, San Jose, I think they're primed and ready for a long playoff run. Their goaltending has been a little suspect, but for the most part, they have probably the deepest team they've had in a long time. So I see them moving on. If San Jose does not move on, I'd be very surprised.
Don't you feel that this time of year, San Jose seems to be the team that everybody talks about the most, just because they've been so good for so long, and as you know, they've never really gotten over that hump. I tend to think here in Canada, we maybe throw a few too many stones at a pretty successful franchise, but you know the guys like, you know, Thornton and Marlowe, they want to win more than anybody. I mean, how do you see them stacking up this year, and how is it different?
Well, the pressure continues to mount with every year that passes and they don't reach the final. They spent a lot of money. I think Doug Wilson has been more than fair and more than loyal to their core players. And it's time that their core players find a way to get over the hump. When the big goal is needed, when the big play is needed, when the big save is needed, they have to find a way to do what's been expected of them. And yes, you're right. They are the one team that has expectations as high as anyone with the exception of Pittsburgh. So, I know Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau don't want to be remembered as non-playoff performers or guys that never won the cup. You know, some of the best players that never won the cup. So they want it as much, if not more, than anybody.
Yeah, and I wonder about that because I think about your Chicago team that ran into Pittsburgh in 92, but you made the final. And I know it's not the same as winning. I know that. But, God, it's sort of like imagine playing your whole NFL career and you don't go to the Super Bowl as opposed to going and just falling short. Well, of course it hurts to lose there, but, God, you'd rather go than not go. So we're like that here in Toronto. I think there's Leaf fans that feel, oh, God, we got to win the Cup someday, and then it's just get me to the final, and I'll know what it feels like. Well, just do that.
Exactly. Well, I've had that conversation with Keith Tkachuk many times. Mm-hmm. You know, Keith Tkachuk, you know, arguably one of the best goal scorers that never even made it to the finals. And, you know, I never won the Cup. I've been to the finals but never won it. So we have to live with that kind of hanging over our heads, which, you know, when you talk about Hall of Fame and all that stuff comes into play. And, you know, that's kind of like the last hurrah for us athletes. But it's a measuring stick. It's a measuring stick of your career. I don't care who you are. It has a big part in it.
Jeremy Roenick's kind enough to join us. NBC coverage kicks off tonight, of course. Lots of games on CNBC as well and NBC Sports Network on the main network, obviously, on the weekends, and they'll have the final. You know Toronto really well. You've traveled here. You've worked here. I'd ask
you, Toronto.
Yeah, we know,
Toronto.
And Toronto loves you back. But we'd ask you this. You watched Brendan Shanahan yesterday. What were your observations of the pressure that's there? I mean, we are talking about it. To me, it's like becoming GM of the Lakers or the next guy that's going to take over for Bill Belichick in New England. There's massive pressure, and we saw it crack Brian Burke a little bit. He's a pretty tough guy to crack. And with Brendan Shanahan, do you think he knows everything that he's getting into here?
No, but I think he's willing to learn. I think he's willing to take the beating in order to get there. You know, I think the job that he has now, might be just as high pressure as the job that he had before, and laying out suspensions and fines and really taking a beating by owners, GMs, and players and fans. That's not a illustrious job that he had before. But first, I got to say, I'm really disappointed that there's only one Canadian team in the playoffs. That really disappoints me because of the hockey and the love that's up there. And I think it's up to guys like Shanny to start upping the bar a little bit and start making the players way more accountable for the way that they're playing on the ice, with ice time, with minor league stints, with more face-to-face in front meetings, and just harder practices. I think these teams can't continue to accept mediocrity. And with the Toronto Maple Leafs giving up an average of 36 shots a game defensively, and you have a guy like D'Antoine who just signed the $7 million contract, that's just unacceptable in my opinion. And I think Brendan Shanahan really has to start laying the law down and making these guys that are making a lot of money and have a lot of expectations on them stop making excuses and stop talking about slumps. And I can't, I'm fighting my confidence, and just get the job done, or don't put them on the ice.
Jeremy Roenick joins us on Brady and Walker. I think for a lot of people, the Chicago St. Louis series holds the most intrigue in the first round. I mean, you go back to those, and you played in some of those Norris Division series. Not that the era was better, but man, what a rivalry that was! And it feels like it's been a long time since both teams have been on an upswing, right?
It's definitely, when you look at the two teams matched up next to each other, it to me, I get the chills, I get the goosebumps with excitement. Then again, yes, you are right. It is not the same. The same bullying, the same war-like atmosphere that we had back in the late 80s, early 90s, where, we had days like the St. Patrick's Day Massacre, which was one of the, one of the most fight-filled, roughest, disgusting games I've ever been a part of. You're not going to have that, but you're going to have, very tight checking, very hard hitting, and just not a friendly rivalry or friendly series. So, and both teams have been awful towards the end of the season. So it's up to them to see who's able to turn it on at the right time.
I'm glad you said that. I want to bring that back to Phaneuf and just ask about your perception of him as a player. He's let's forget the paycheck for one sec. It's hard to. I know that, and we don't forget it sometimes here, but he's being asked on an inferior team. We're not 100% sure they're being coached the right way, and they're saying play 26 minutes and play PP1 and play PK1 and play tons of even strength minutes against the other team's best line. That's probably not who he is. They're trying to treat him here, in my estimation, JR, like Shea Weber. And of course he's not Shea Weber.
Because,
don't ask him to be Shea Weber.
Else.
Yes.
I mean, Franzen looks like he's skating in the sandbox every single night. He can't keep up with the league today. And they get into trouble with their defensive liabilities up front. You have forwards that don't work hard enough to come back and help their defense and let them out to dry. And D'Antonis is a very, very good hockey player. He's a good defenseman. I wouldn't call him a great defenseman, but he's mean. He has the ability to control the power play and play well, especially in front of the net. I think his expectations of what he can do might be a little high, but he's a competitor like no other. I think he has that grind and that compete level that you want in a captain, but I think they need more to support him defensively, not only on the blue line, but up front. They have to make more of a commitment as a forward unit to play like Boston does, like LA does.
Yeah.
And they don't do that.
I think I'm with you, Jeremy. The comparison I always make, and you watch Chicago all the time, maybe you'll agree, Phaneuf feels a bit on an island. And I always say, if he was in Chicago and Brent Seabrook was here in Toronto, Leaf fans would be all over Brent Seabrook because he can't be expected to do everything himself. I think they're kind of a similar guy in terms of their limitations.
I think that's a great analogy. But the difference is Brent Seabrook has the cast around him to support him when his fleet of foot maybe might hamper him, or maybe a defensive mistake will come his way. To have a guy like Duncan Keith, who is extremely fast and extremely smart, They cover for each other. Deion does not have that.